Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com. Go.
Witness Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to BYT Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. BYT Radio stands for Brightest Young Things Radio. We are an arts and culture website based out of Washington, D.C., and we occasionally do events in New York City. There's one coming up in 29 days. We're very excited about that. We record every Thursday at the beautiful Full Service Radio in the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan. The studio looks really good today, Jack. Did you do something different?
No. Are you joking?
I am not joking in any way. Yes. Oh, you know what it is? Last time I was here was Valentine's Day, because that was a week ago. And there were nice heart balloons everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And today, the studio feels free and fluid and pretty.
Not shackled by love.
Exactly. No, but it physically feels different in here. Did you do anything different? Are these new arms? Are these new microphones?
No.
Did something get washed recently?
Nope.
It looks good is all I'm saying.
That's great to hear.
Now, for the listener at home, for the listener in the room, wherever you are listening, if you hear some outdoor noises today, I'd like to apologize for that. There is construction going on in the Line Hotel right now. Inevitable construction, because it's important that buildings don't fall apart. Is that right, Jack?
Very, very
Thank you
true.
So much. Sorry about getting you off guard. Catching you
no,
off
you're good.
Guard
I'm always
there.
Ready.
He is always ready. He's the producer. And he's always here, unless he's at a different Line Hotel, which he will be at very, very soon. He's going to South by Southwest. Not as a performer.
Nope.
This is the first time you will be attending South by Southwest not as a performer.
Yeah.
I am very interested to see how you feel about it now that you've gone to not perform.
Yeah, maybe I'll love it.
I think you might or not. It'll be one of the two.
Well, I'm doing a pop-up, you know, radio station in the lobby of the Line Austin, so I'm not going to move around much. I'll probably just be like hanging out in the lobby and hosting people.
Will you have a badge?
No.
Will you have any even? Will you even have opportunities to go to parties?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think. Maybe late night. Yeah. I don't know.
Neither do I. It's an exciting time we live in. Speaking of an exciting time we live in, our guest on the show today, I would like to first thank him for not talking, because he understands radio, because if you are not introduced in radio, you do not exist. So I would like to thank our guest, and I'm about to introduce him. He's a writer for Brightest Young Things. He's a stand-up comic, and both of those things matter, because we ran one of his pieces this week. It's definitely my favorite thing he's ever written for BrightestYoungThings.com. Jamie Beniti is here. Jamie, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You were close.
Is Benetti. It Beniti?
Yeah, everyone says Beniti, so...
I apologize for that. How Italian are you?
Actually, my parents are from Cuba, actually.
You're Cuban! Yeah, so 0%.
I think zero. Probably. I would
say. Are you 100% Cuban?
My ancestry... I did the Ancestry.com.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of mixed around there, but...
Could you please give us some ingredients of your ancestry?
Well, my great-grandfather, so my mom's grandfather was from Michigan.
Okay.
Weirdly, so he moved to Cuba to, I don't know.
To be warm.
Start Pepsi or something.
Do you seriously, are we related to the Pepsi fortune in any way?
No.
Okay, good. You just mentioned that, I should know that about you.
I have to,
So your parents are from Cuba proper?
Yeah, they came here as children.
Okay, so you were born in the States.
I was, Georgetown Hospital.
Are they technically illegal immigrants?
No, because this was when they had refugee status.
Got it.
Yeah.
So your thoughts now on the refugee crisis, go.
Well, I think we should help them the most we can.
Controversial statement from Jamie. Yeah. Jamie, thank you for being here today.
Yeah.
I know you because you're a stand-up.
Yeah.
But you've been wanting to write for Brightest Young Things for a while. You've written for other publications in Washington, D.C. Yeah. And you're sort of doing this, experiential. You're doing a George Plimpton-esque type of thing. Do you want to say that? Do you know what that means?
No idea.
Great. So George Plimpton, famous writer, he would be the guy that would do something that he wasn't supposed to do. So, he would play goalie for the Boston Bruins, or he would play a series of downs for the Detroit Lions, stuff like that. He's also the dad of Martha Plimpton. Okay. He's been on The Simpsons as an animated version of himself. Anyways, so that's kind of what you're doing. You've done this with ventriloquism.
Yes.
And I loved the article. So, ventriloquism is exactly what people think it is. You put your hand in a dummy, and then you use the dummy's voice. Correct?
Correct.
Great. Okay. Why do this?
Well, mine actually is the cheaper version, so it had a string on the back of
it. Okay.
So I would pull it and the jaw would move. But just barely.
Okay, so let's go through the timeline here. You got a ventriloquist doll when you were a teenager?
Yeah, I would say 14, 15
years
old.
You're 14 or 15 years old. Yeah. And why did you get a ventriloquist doll?
I found it very humorous.
So you wanted to get the doll as a teen?
More kind of like a gag to,
okay,
thing,
sure,
to have.
Did you want to be a stand-up when you were a 14 or 15-year-old?
No, growing up, I actually really enjoyed comedy movies more, so that was more my, like, Chris Farley, Adam Sandler.
Did you want to write them, or did you want to be in the movies?
I kind of just like those, the SNL kind of thing.
Sure.
I would like to be a background character here.
Yeah. You want to shoot for the stars, kids. Yeah. So, even at that point, how old are you now?
I'm 31.
Great. Even 15 years ago, you didn't want to be a ventriloquist.
No.
But you're like, I'll get a doll, let's just try this out?
Just for gags. I was into, like, weird, just doing stuff to make people laugh.
Would you bring it to school? Would you bring it to parties? Like, did
No, it never got out of the house just because I saw the reactions of everyone that would come over and I would.
What was the typical reaction for the doll?
A lot of people looked terrified. Some people looked sad, I would say.
Now, to be fair, the doll is a classic looking doll. It's not. You have two dolls in this piece.
Yeah.
One is legit scary. One is not. This is your standard doll. When you think of ventriloquist doll, this is exactly what you think of, I would say, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, do you know what Howdy Doody is?
I've heard of him.
Classic. It's like the ventriloquist. It doesn't matter. The point is this. It's not scary at all, but you would get these reactions. What inspired you to bust this doll out in 2019?
Well, I did it actually at like kind of a, what they would call an alt comedy show.
Okay, so all comedy shows, if you're listening to the show, you know exactly what we're talking about. If you like Patton Oswalt more than Dane Cook, you like alt comedy more. And I realize I'm using like 15-year-old references, but Dane Cook is back in D.C. this weekend right now. He's at Dark Constitution Hall. That's not a joke, Jack. Jack just made a face like, what the hell are you talking about? Dane Cook is back, everybody.
Ugh.
We're excited for Dane Cook. D.C. I don't know. What are people? Superfinger. That was his thing. Remember that? Superfinger. Anyways, big Superfinger guy is you. No.
Yeah.
If you like David Cross more than Dane Cook, whatever. So... if you like Adult Swim, that's alt comedy. So you do you go to an alt mic.
Yeah, alt mic, do something weird. Basically just slightly tweak my act with the dummy.
Okay, now, had you ever... You probably try this out at home.
Not... It was had literally been in like storage for over a decade, probably.
But before you went to that first show, did you try it out at all?
I'd stood in front of the mirror, and I tried it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I just didn't like... It sometimes I have a trouble looking in the mirror and practicing my stand-up. I just think I look like an idiot, or so I quickly...
This is a real question. I know comics listen to their sets back, and I know that they write them down clearly. These are important things. Are you supposed to look in the mirror when you're... I know like when you're dancing, you're supposed to look in the mirror. I think when you're acting as well. But if you're doing stand-up, are you supposed to look in the mirror?
No. I was doing that. Then I kind of got the thing where I'd... just kind of like if I was cleaning my room or getting dressed, I would be going over my jokes.
Okay.
Which is a little less self-indulgent, I guess.
Now, do you, what's your living situation right now?
I'm in the basement of my parents.
Yeah. Okay, so you're still, you're there.
Yeah.
Not a great situation, not the horrible situation. It's good that you have loving parents.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I helped them out.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're a good man. Anyways, so you're doing chores, essentially. You're moving around the house, and there's a dummy on your hand. Is it weird to perform with something on your hands?
The weirdest thing was I had to learn not to take the mic out of the stand.
Yes.
At first, I was doing... That first show, I did it sitting in a chair, which was good.
That was good?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I had to have them like lower the mic, which was just an awkward thing to do in front of an audience.
So, like, ladies and gentlemen, Jamie, and then you go up there and you're like, hey, could you adjust this for me?
About, like, 2.5 minutes of setting up.
And how long was the mic that you were performing at?
I probably did 6 to 7 minutes.
Okay, so a third of it, a quarter of it was setting up the mic.
Correct.
Yeah. Great. Okay, awesome. Yeah. So clearly that does not go well.
It was pretty awkward and weird, yeah.
But it was it so awkward that it became good?
I think it was one of those things where people were, like, this show was way more forgiving than the shows I did for the article.
Okay.
It was, like, intrinsically a strange show.
Now, so, do you want to promote this show in any way or no?
It was Comedy Potluck.
So this is the third Wednesday? It's one of the Wednesdays of the month at the Wonderland Ballroom.
Correct, yeah.
It's a weirdo show.
It's a weirdo-friendly show.
But occasionally, because you're in Columbia Heights, because you're in a city, you get very mainstream stuff in addition to weirdo stuff.
Yeah, some people drop in not knowing what it is, and they just try to do a normal act.
Exactly.
They kind of get treated as the weirdo.
So, in a way, this is the perfect place for you to try out your first time doing ventriloquist act in your 30s.
Yeah.
Perfect time.
Yeah.
You go to a more mainstream show. Is it a show or a mic? And for the listener at home, there's a big difference. A show is exactly what you think it is. A show is where we know Jamie, we're going to book Jamie, Jamie's good, the end, it's going to be good. A mic is literally anyone can show up, and here's the list, and now we sign it. There's something in the middle where it's a curated mic. What is this?
This would be, I would say it's a curated mic. It was
okay.
It was a showcase, so that he did book it beforehand.
Okay. So it's a mixture of the two of the ones where they know who you are.
Exactly.
Okay, how did this one go?
This one was, so I guess this was my real first one. And that one, it was 5 minutes, and I got back up for 2 minutes. Was the theme of the show. And I just
bombed. Hold on, what was the theme of the show?
Well, basically, they're like, it's called Left on the Table, I believe.
Okay.
And so you do 5 minutes, and then they're like, we're going to call you up in a wacky way to do 2 more minutes that you forgot to do.
Okay.
But I did it with the dummy and just bombed for about 5 minutes.
And then they still brought you up.
They brought me back up, and then I bombed for 2 more minutes.
See, now this sounds like it was so bad it was good. Like it crossed over, because if it was so bad that it was offensive or so bad that people wanted to leave, they wouldn't bring you up for the additional two.
Yeah, I guess you said.
So silver linings here.
Yeah.
What made this one so bad?
This was my first... the other one, like I said, they're way more forgiving.
Yes.
This one was a traditional stand-up comedy show.
Okay.
Where there was just a strange, bad ventriloquist in the act. And I would say that everyone was kind of shocked that I had the dummy. They didn't know what to think of it. Some people looked like really visibly upset. I saw an old guy just... he kept looking at me. I didn't know if he was like going to cry or like what his emotions were. It was a very strange thing. And then I got off and it was like kind of a weight lifted off my shoulders. People were like, oh, you have a lot of courage to do that. Not the thing you want to hear after standing.
No, it's not.
And then they call me back on and then it's like reliving the same thing.
Now, in the article, you say that you experimented with the voice a few times. Like you would slightly change the voice. I'm not asking you to do the voice. Unless,
I could if you...
if you're willing, I'd like for you to do the voice just so the listener has a sense of what you were doing. So this is... your voice now is not that dissimilar to your actual performing voice.
No.
It's not. Your performing voice is a little bit more animated, but barely.
Yeah, that's a problem I have.
I don't think it's a problem at all. Yeah. It's... you have a cadence, and it's a good cadence, and I don't think you're stealing from anyone.
Okay.
Which is good. I'm clearly stealing from a lot. We'll talk about it after the show. So, who could you give me the ventriloquist doll voice if you're so inclined?
Okay, here would be like a snippet of my opener.
I'd love that.
I'd be like, how's it going, everyone? I'm Jamie.
And I'm Mortimer.
Okay, okay. So it's, when in the article you describe it as a Patty and Selma-esque type of voice, right. I think that's a good description.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Not too creepy. Clearly, you can do it. Now, your lips didn't seem to move that much. How focused were you on the lip part of this?
Well, the weird thing was, as I was doing this experimental thing, I slowly started getting better at ventriloquism.
Really?
Which was a kind of a thing I didn't really expect or think about.
Okay, so let's go. Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah,
we're gonna count that as number one. We're not gonna count Comedy Potluck as number one. Number two, you do it again.
Right.
Where do you do it the second time?
This one was at the Town Tavern.
Town Tavern is a more classic
stand up.
Not a club, but like
kind of like
a room.
A room.
Yeah, classic room. It's down the street, right?
It is. It is.
Yeah. It's down the street in beautiful Adams Morgan, home of the Lion Hotel. So, how did that go?
This one was even worse than the one before.
How could it possibly get worse?
Well, this was a situation where everyone was killing. Like, the audience was just so good.
So, and then when usually I came, the type of room a comic would want to go up in.
Exactly. Yeah, the kind of room I would want to go up with without the dummy,
You go up with the dummy. How does this set? How is it received?
Just immediate silence. You feel the energy in the room just slump. People look like... they're upset. I'm doing the thing. My voice, I'm starting to get nervous while doing the voice. The jokes are just weird and choppy and not hitting.
Now, let's talk about the jokes. You said in the article that you pretty much just augmented your actual set.
I did.
Okay, so it's like you, Jamie, is doing the setup and Mortimer is doing the punchline type of thing.
Correct. And okay. Then I was trying to do some back and forth.
How was the back and forth received?
That was probably the better of the rest of it. They're like, oh, this guy's the real deal. And then they're like, oh, this guy's terrible for the rest of...
Okay. So this one is not an odd, we're going to bring you up for 5 minutes and then bring you up for 2 minutes. It's just, you're doing what, 8 minutes?
This one's just five.
Just doing 5 minutes. How long did that 5 minutes feel?
It felt probably like 20 minutes.
Yeah. So you've been doing this for 6 years, which means you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Your first 6 months to a year, you suck. Everyone sucks.
Yeah.
There's no exceptions to the rule. Yeah. You just suck. Yeah. There are totally exceptions to the rule. That's the whole point of exceptions to the rule. But on average, everyone sucks. Mm. You probably got good or what? Run year three, year four?
I'd say I started to kind of know what I was doing around year two.
Okay, year two.
Yeah.
You're fine. That's the whole thing. You're finding your voice.
Yeah.
Did you try to find the dummy's voice?
No, I just kind of, what weird voices do I have in my catalog? Sure. And I was like, okay, this one sounds okay.
How would you describe your comedic point of view? I know this is a hack question. This is asking a band how to describe their sound. But if you have one, what is your comedic point of view?
I kind of just think ridiculous things are funny. And I like the more layered, abstract stuff. So you said once when I was on your podcast, it's like the... smartest, dumbest shit jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I actually really like that because I've actually thought about
it. I've said horrible. Here's the way I do another show called You Meet Them. Everybody, we've been doing it for 11 years. We're going to be doing an 11-hour marathon here with Jack before South by Southwest because that's the best way to prepare for a music marathon. I'm so sorry, Jack. I love doing it because I get to meet people like Jamie, and this is not a joke. We just did an 11-hour show. Jamie was part of that show. And I think there were seven or eight comics on that bill. And every single one of them, I enjoy as people. And I could tell that I enjoy Jamie quite a bit as people. And this is not a good trait of mine, and I'm trying to change it. Because I insult you to your face so often because I legit like you. Yeah. And if I don't like you, I'm just so polite, which is a weird, messed up way to live. Yeah. Thank God I don't treat my wife like this. But I know people that do. They treat their partner like this fool over here, this dummy. No, I don't know what it is. You put a microphone in front of me. And by they, I mean me. I put the microphone in front of myself. I'm a starter, everybody. I legit like your comedy a lot. But I realize you don't know me. You didn't know me until you did the show. So I'm doing the show. We're doing the shows. And I'm just insulting you to your face.
I tend to think that's funny.
I agree. Know. But not everyone does. And that's how fights start.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd like to apologize.
Oh, no. I always enjoyed it.
Okay,
keep
good.
It coming.
But also, we have to admit, that's not a healthy way to live.
No.
If your partner was like, fuck this guy, he's a dummy, you'd be like, I guess I still love you. You know what I mean? That's not something you want to hear.
Kind of the Archie Bunker type.
Yes. Yeah. But Archie never said bad things to Edith.
Did he not?
He never said bad things to Edith. He would say bad things about Meathead. No one cares about this right now.
Yeah.
Anyways, Rob Reiner, not a fan of Trump. Moving back to Jamie.
Yeah.
Okay. You do. Now, I'm not going to talk shit about town. It's not my scene.
Uh-huh.
I prefer shows like Comedy Potluck. I prefer your weirdo shows.
Yeah.
But I understand the place of your more standard stand-up shows. Right. That's what makes money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for me, the DC Improv is probably always going to be more successful than the Big Hunt, even though I prefer the comedy at the Big Hunt more. And that's not a knock on the DC Improv.
Yeah.
It's important to serve the most people. McDonald's has a place, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Do you think what you were doing could have fit in anywhere at all? Could it have thrived anywhere?
Well, at first I thought absolutely not. But as I started at that last show where I saw when everything was moving together.
And we'll get to there in a second.
Yeah. Then I thought maybe I could actually do this. And then immediately after that, I thought, I don't really want to do this.
Perfect answer. Okay. So we've done two shows now. We've done your 5 minutes up, then a weird two-minute thing.
Yeah.
You've done Town Tavern. What's your third show?
Third show, I would believe.
This is in the article, so I'm not just putting you on the spot here.
Yeah, I'm kind of blanking out.
It doesn't matter where, but the third show had a separate element to it. Is that correct?
I believe so.
What was the separate element? Let me give you a hint.
Yeah.
Two dummies.
Oh, yeah. This is the third show. This is the last one.
So your last show, you decide, hey, I'm going to double down here. Yeah. I'm going to bring up a second dummy.
Correct, which was actually a CVS Halloween decoration.
Now, this is the thing that I was referring to that's scary.
Yeah.
This looks like a Halloween decoration.
Yeah, it looks like Pennywise. Yeah, Pennywise. Kind of.
So you did, I would like to point out, you did this in January of 2019.
Yes, correct.
Why did you have a Pennywise knockoff CVS decoration lying around?
Well, this is, I bought this because I just thought it was so terrifying. It would be really funny to have like on my stoop when the children came.
So this is a Halloween decoration that you just kept?
Yeah, and then it was so scary. I had like people over one night and I was just bringing it around because I thought it was funny. I would just hold it. And my brother got really upset and broke it in half over his knee.
Oh, no.
I think we were all like had some fears and stuff. And he really seemed upset to the point he snapped it in half.
Oh, no.
So, but which actually worked. So when I needed the extra dummy, it was like half of a scary clown.
That's great.
That I just had. Yeah.
So are you the kind of person where if you and I go to CVS now and there's some clearance section Valentine's Day stuff and there's like something funny or creepy, you're going to buy it?
It has to be like really stand out.
Okay. But okay. Is your house just like an Amy Sedaris dreamscape or it's just a bunch of random tchotchkes?
I do have a lot of strange things. I have like an alligator hand, alligator, porcupine quill, some swords.
How many times have you moved?
Once.
Yeah. Ever.
Well, I've moved first as townhouse, then single family home, and then now I'm in the basement. And then I lived in Fairfax during college.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this, how long have you had this, like, how long have your parents been at the place they're at?
Probably, I want to say 13 years.
Okay, so since you've been 18, you haven't had to move anything, really?
No, just to the dorm and then to a house.
I think this is very telling about how much stuff you've acquired.
Yeah, a lot of weird stuff.
I've moved 10 times in 10 years, so I have very few things, and I love it.
Military?
No, opposite. Cool. So are you, have you seen Marie Kondo's show, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo?
No, but I have her audiobook. I listened to 10 minutes of it. Yeah.
You're getting there?
Yeah.
All right. Third show. You bring up a second dummy. How does this one go?
So this one, I was carrying the dummies in my backpack because I knew I'd be walking around DC a little bit. And then you know, comic Kevin Titt.
Friend of the show, Kevin Titt, yes.
So originally I was going to go on stage with just holding both of them. He's like, you know, it would be better if you had the scary clown in your backpack and went up with it. And then midway through your performance, you introduce the clown and bring him out. So now you're doing three voices.
Yes.
And which the whole time I was kind of nervous because the sets weren't going well.
And when you, well, hold on a minute. You mean, when you say sets weren't going well, do you mean the sets on the show that evening, or do you mean your previous ventriloquist sets?
No, that evening they were doing well. But, previous ventriloquist sets. Yeah. So I was just throwing in a new element in it without knowing what to expect. But the original Mortimer part was going really well.
Mortimer, we've established that's the Patty and Selma voice.
That's the Patty and Selma voice, the red-haired bucktooth dummy. And then so when I brought out the second thing, they were so on board with the what was going on for whatever reason. And I brought out the second thing, and it was just three voices jumping around.
Now,
and,
are you willing to do the scary... What's the scary... I forgot the name of the scary clown.
Krobus.
Krobus.
Krobus the clown.
What? Krobus the clown. What do you? Are you willing to do the Krobus the clown voice, or do you even remember?
I kind of remember because someone had a short clip. But that voice kept changing. People afterwards were like, that voice was... different the entire thing. But
so give me a sample of one of the many voices you did of Krobus the clown.
He's like,
oh yeah, oh hell yeah. Oh, so he's sort of he's like loosey goosey guy.
Yeah, he's a hip guy.
I thought he'd be like you know what
I mean? I already had the Mortimer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm Mortimer.
So oh yeah.
So this is fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to do setup punchline. Setup is Jamie's voice, punchline is Mortimer's voice.
Yeah.
So is Krobus just a punch-up guy then? Like, well, what is he doing?
What ended up happening as it, like, evolved was Mortimer was basically... I was, like, the straight guy in the thing.
Sure.
I'd set stuff up. He'd call me an idiot or a moron or whatever. And then it was just, like, I was holding two things that were kind of insulting me and on the same side. And I was just, like... in the middle, the intermediary between the two.
That sounds funny and depressing.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it, but it was a strange thing. Yeah.
So you did well the last time.
Yeah.
That one, clearly, you didn't move the microphone stand because you knew better.
Correct.
But also, you had zero hands.
Zero hands.
Okay. So, I've always wondered, how do you set up and tear down a ventriloquist act?
Well, at first, I had the chair.
Yeah.
And then people, that wasn't something that could keep happening.
Sure.
So, I just started standing with the thing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people said I was... in the mic stand was in the way of the dummy a couple of times. So people said it just looked like I was a psychopath. So I had to learn how to hold it correctly where it was off to the side so they could see.
Sure.
What
about when you're taking it down, though? How do you make it not jarring to just be like, now here's my hand? You know what I mean?
How do you mean? Like after the...
Once you're done. Once you're like, good night, everybody. Like, how do you... You just, like, walk away with them both still on your hands and then go to the bathroom?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that one, I think I put Krobus back in the backpack and just grabbed them and kind of, like, shuffled off like a crazy cat lady. Yeah.
Is there any way to do this where you don't feel crazy in your limited experience?
No, but that oddly became the joy of it.
Yes.
Like, because I would walk around kind of, like, going over the jokes in my head, holding the dummy.
Yeah.
Before all the sets, and just seeing people staring at me like complete psycho was pretty cool.
Did every comic that went after you at all of these shows talk about your set?
Yeah, I feel like it was one of those elephant in the rooms where they had to address it, and basically everyone laughed at my expense.
Yeah. But you won because you're the only one that people are going to remember on those shows.
Yeah, I had this one girl or comic came up to me and was like, my dad said he really liked how you doubled down. You were his favorite. You got... And another guy was like, you got big balls, which I thought was strange.
So, big balls are not necessarily a compliment. So, few questions here, mostly about people bringing their parents to stand-up shows, but that's neither here nor there.
It's a strange thing.
Have your parents seen you?
My dad saw me once.
What did he think?
It was a bad set. It was in New York at like 4 o'clock.
In the afternoon or the morning?
In the afternoon.
Okay. Who's got a 4 p.m. show?
It was at like the comic strip.
Oh, okay.
It was like just one of those.
Was it a bringer show?
I brought my dad. No, it was like somehow I got on. This was like when I first started. I was like 2 years in.
Sure.
And I was like, I can go to New York. He's like, I'll come. So he just...
All right.
So it was just me and him and we like ate pastrami sandwiches.
That's nice.
And he saw me bomb.
Really. Do you like your dad?
Yeah, he's great.
That's nice. Do you like your mom?
Yeah, she's great too.
That's cool.
I look kind of like her.
What do they think of the dummies? Or what should I refer to them as? The dolls? The dummies? Does it matter?
I like dummies. Dummies.
What do they think of the dummies?
Well, I showed them a little clip. They thought it was funny. I think for most of the things in my life, they are supportive and think it's kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're like, what are you doing?
Yes, for sure.
So there's that element.
Do you think of that often? Because you started stand-up pretty late. You started at 25. That's usually...
Oh, yeah. I thought of... That was something I thought of.
Did you always want to do it? I know you like the Adam Sandler, Chris Farley type of things when you were 14, 15.
Once I knew that was a potential outlet to do stuff, I didn't really even realize it was readily available to...
Really?
Yeah.
How did you think it worked?
I just thought there was probably like 3 clubs or 2 clubs in every city. And
you're not that wrong.
Yeah, and only professionals... perform pretty much.
But what makes a professional?
Correct. I didn't even think that far.
So okay.
Once I started diving down that rabbit hole,
what was the thing that made you do it?
A friend kept daring me because they all found me funny.
Who's is the friend a comic?
No, he's a chef actually.
Really?
Yeah, in DC.
Where?
DC Winery, I want to say it's called.
Cool.
Yeah.
City Winery.
City Winery.
Yeah, that's great. So you still friends?
Yeah, good friend.
Does he or she come out to see you perform?
He's come. A couple times.
Is that weird or is that nice?
No, he seems to like it.
That's good.
Yeah.
What's the goal for you?
For stand-up?
Yeah.
I try not to think too far ahead. I just kind of...
Why?
I'm building more material. I don't know. I guess to think like I want to be on Netflix or whatever has never been my style. I just want to get as good as possible at doing the stand-up and just figure opportunities will come.
How could you get better?
How I get better, I guess. So, as you know, my jokes are probably 30 seconds and like...
Yeah, you write jokes. You're not like me. You're not a storyteller. Yeah.
I would like to kind of mix the two elements.
Okay.
So, they're maybe a 2-minute... I have like a couple 2 to 3 minute bits, but like more of those. So, I'm less... If I'm doing a longer set, I'm kind of treading water. because it's like 10-second joke, 20-second joke.
You're very Galifianakis, you're very Mitch Hedberg in that way. And that's not a good thing or a bad thing, it's just what it is.
So just to explore working with Mortimer was good, working with voices, kind of anything weird. For a while I was bringing a small tiny hand up. I don't know if you've seen those.
I don't know if I have.
And you put it on your finger and I was putting it in my sleeve.
Yeah, I remember this.
Not addressing it the entire time. I would tap the mic and just get off stage. I was doing that for months just because I thought it was funny to never mention it.
Did it go over?
They seemed to like it.
Good.
Yeah. So just weird stuff.
Who do you like that people know of?
Who I like? I like Stephen Wright. It's great.
Okay, what a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, Stephen Wright.
The driest man professional. Probably the one that you look like the most, too.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
Bill Burr is really good. Yeah.
Are you worried about losing your hair?
I have worried about that. That was part of the reason I started growing it, actually.
Yeah, he's got pretty long hair right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you like it, or does it take way too long to shower?
I like it. I've learned how to take care of it. Before, I was just using a bar of soap. Now, I realize it's like an animal that I need to like give the
nutrients. Hold on. You were just using a bar of soap to wash your hair?
For years. Right, yeah.
You're from Washington, D.C. You're from the States. You're from a first world country.
Yeah.
In a major metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And you're using a bar of soap in your hair.
Yeah, well, I had like really short hair for a while.
Sure.
And then so I'd use shampoo, of course. And then when it ran out, I'd just use soap on my whole everything.
All right. Yeah. Well, it's good that you're bathing with soap.
Thank you. In a tub, a metal tub.
That's the punch up. I like this ventriloquist piece quite a bit. Did you learn anything from it? Do you have a newfound respect for people that use dummies?
I think it can. It's a mixed form of respect because in one way it's impressive that they're doing different voices and they have their act so ironed out. It's not just them the entire time. Mm-hmm. In the other way is it is kind of like how people like are insult like improv troops.
Sure.
Where you have a whole team, so you have people to fall back on.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, your dummy becomes another person.
Okay.
So you kind of have it to fall back on if they don't like you as much.
Yeah. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yes.
Do you think, I never thought about it that way. Do you think that stand-ups hate improvisers because they inevitably have friends?
I think they don't like them because the whole stand-up thing seems to be they like the brooding aspect or just that caricature of a comic. He's brooding. He's always like drinking in dark kind of like places. Yeah. And the improv people just seem like they're having so much fun.
Yeah.
So
because they usually are.
Yeah, it's like the kids in high school like Black Sabbath versus the theater kids kind of thing.
Yeah, but usually successful people are able to do both.
Correct. Yeah, I would say the happier you are, the better you are at comedy.
So what could make you happier?
I guess taking care of myself.
There you go.
I started eating more salads recently.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you have a bad diet before?
I think it was primarily like meat stuff.
Just all meats.
Yeah. And then I started dating my girlfriend now. She eats a lot of vegetables and I've kind of realized the benefits.
She's literally putting years on your life.
She is, I believe.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I enjoy this piece. Your what?
My hair started coming back.
Were you really losing your hair?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm trying to
it's thinning a little.
Tie up loose ends. Yeah. I very much enjoy this piece. You could read it on BritishJunkThings.com. People could follow you on Twitter.
Yes.
At
Jimmy Boob Eddie.
So fucking stupid. One of the worst Twitter handles I've ever heard. Why is that your Twitter handle?
I don't know.
Come on.
I thought it was funny.
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Come on. Jimmy Boob Eddie.
Well, it actually comes from in college, I lived on the top floor of this, in George Mason, this three-story dorm room. And we were all drinking in one of the dorm rooms.
Yes.
And for this particular dorm room on the top floor, they had already had two warnings against drinking.
Uh-huh.
One of the guys in there. So if you get a third warning, I guess you get kicked out or whatever. And we heard a knock on the door and I think it was a police, campus police and someone else was at the door while we were all drinking. So we're hiding the stuff. And one guy's straddling the window on the top floor. He's like, I can't get caught for this. I can't go down. And we're like, calm down. And so we let the people in, and we just see the blinds moving in the room. Like, the guy was gone. And then so they look around. They're like, keep it down or whatever. And then they just left.
Uh-huh.
We all run to the window, and he had fallen the three stories. It was kind of like the Dumb and Dumber scene off the tarmac. And was just, like, laying on the ground. And so these people are coming down the stairs, Nora, and he's crawling to the bushes. So he ended up fracturing like some vertebrae in his back.
Oh, my God.
And he was vomiting from, I guess, something happened when he sure. broke his spine. he was vomiting. And then the cops then more came. They're like, people saw someone fall from here because my other friends had to drag him away and they drove him to the hospital. And I was down there, and then I made up the name Jimmy Bernardi as like I thought I would trick the newspaper, and the name Jimmy Bernardi was in the newspaper the next day. Like, Jimmy Bernardi on the scene says he didn't see anything, or kind of thing. And that's kind of how the Twitter handle spiraled from that.
Yeah. Okay. Does that guy, is he able to walk now?
Yeah, he was in a cast on his whole torso on the top bunk of a dorm rooms just for a long time. I saw him probably like 3 years later at just a bar, and he was like really drunk again.
Oh, so he learned no lessons.
I would say no. Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Well, Jimmy Bernardi, thank you. We're going to come back with Best Weekend Bets. For the kids listening at home, don't do that.
Yeah.
Just be cool.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
Who is it?
Stringer.
Thank you.
New York City-based band.
Not Big Ups.
Not Big Ups. Friends different. Of Big Ups.
What a shock.
Yeah.
Who does this sound like this? Kind of guided by voices. Getting a little GBV.
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
The series finale of The O.C.
No, it doesn't. Get out of here.
Oh, sorry.
Every Thursday on BradyShankThings.com, we publish our New York City, D.C., and D.C. Queer Best Weekend Bets. We give picks. It's important to sign up for the mailing list because that's where you're able to buy tickets before anybody else. This is how it matters to sign up for the mailing list. We announced our first DC party of the year. It's at the Air and Space Museum. It's a Yuri's Night party. And the $50 tickets for that sold out in like 2 or 3 hours. All the people that knew about it got it because first on the mailing list. That's why when I say the sign up for it, you literally save money if you're going to buy a ticket to one of these parties. That's why it matters. Anyways, today is Thursday. It is nice out. It's very nice as a day. Yesterday was horrible. So we're going to recommend a handful of things. We're going to recommend James Blake at the Anthem. We'll be covering that show tonight. So we'll come back to Bradyshank Things on Monday for our review. SoulCycle in Mount Vernon is teaming up with the NAACP to celebrate Black History Month. 100% of sales from their 6 p.m. ride today go to the NAACP Legal Defense and Education Fund. So we're recommending the spin class for, I think, the first time ever on this show. And we're also going to recommend Marivana. Marivana, the Russian place, is celebrating their 6-year anniversary today. Jamie, have you ever been to Marivana?
I have not.
Do you know where it is?
No idea.
It's not that far from the DC Improv.
Okay.
Are you doing anything fun and or unique tonight?
Tonight I am driving to Baltimore, actually, for the Disco Bar comedy show.
There we go.
I believe it starts at 8 o'clock.
Where is it at?
A Disco Bar.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well-named comedy show, so that's Jamie's pick. Friday night, hang out with the cast of Schitt's Creek at DAR Constitution Hall, D-A-R Constitution Hall. Stick around the next night to see Dane Cook. We're definitely going to recommend Schitt's Creek. And if you're interested in Schitt's Creek, you're probably interested in Trades Night of a Thousand Moiras. So that should be very fun if you are a Schitt's Creek fan. And it's also National Margarita Day on Friday. 2 years ago, last year, we did a margarita taste test, a blind margarita taste test, where we had all of the margarita mixes. And we had one standardized tequila, and we figured out which one the best one was, and you could read that on BradyShankThings.com. Friday, National Margarita Day. Jamie, what's your pick? What are you doing Friday?
Friday, I probably might go to the movies or something.
Cool.
Heard the Green Book was very good.
Not controversial pick for Green Book.
Yeah.
Saturday, I'm going to recommend something in Baltimore. It's all weekend. It's the American Craft Show at the Baltimore Convention Center. I liked it last year quite a bit. I'll be there again this year. I'll be going on Saturday. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That is my Saturday day pick. My Saturday night pick is Jay Electronica. Does not tour very often. He's at the Howard Theater. I hope that show happens. Every once in a while, there's that show that's announced, and you're like, oh, this is going to be great, and then inevitably it gets canceled for obvious reasons. See the last Amy Winehouse tour. Now, I am not saying Jay Electronica will end up in the same way as Amy Winehouse. I'm just saying I hope this tour happens. Moving on. Trying to go to not so negative here, but it's a little bit hard. We're going to recommend to raise money for the Roja Revolution, catch Anti-Flag, Trophy Hunt, Homo Superior, No Man, and Infant Island at St. Stephen's. One of the members of Homo Superior is an employee of the line, so full disclosure there. And also full disclosure, Anti-Flag still opens their sets with sirens, and it's always jarring to me.
What is that?
Anti-Flag, the band.
Oh, I know them.
Yeah. Yep, you probably do know them because they've been around a very long time. Yeah. They're at St. Stephen's Saturday. Saturday, what are you awesome. Doing, Jamie?
Saturday, I'll be at DC Draft House at 11 o'clock for their comedy show.
There you go.
Yeah.
How often do you go up?
I probably get up around 6 times a week.
That's a lot. Yeah. Do you enjoy it?
For the most, when I have new material, I enjoy it more. So,
if you don't have new material, why would you do it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Obligation, I guess.
It's the worst way to live. The best way to live on Sunday is to go to Ramen World. Our guest last week, Al Goldberg, is the guy that runs Mess Hall. Ramen World is one of their signature events. Go to that. They have sessions at noon and 3 p.m. I'm going to recommend Flogging Molly at Fillmore Silver Spring as well. I'm not recommending it for Flogging Molly. I'm recommending it for Lucero, who is playing in the middle. Jack gave me a look like you're recommending Flogging Molly. We might need to have a talk.
And Dane Cook in the same episode.
There's got to be. The Venn diagram between Flogging Molly and Dane Cook is quite thick in the middle. I bet there's at least 50 people doing Dane Cook Saturday, Flogging Molly Sunday at the Fillmore Silver Spring. But Lucero is great. Do you know Lucero?
I don't know.
Play some Lucero. I know I could talk about them as long as I'm criticizing them and it's not just like, here's a Lucero track, everybody. And by the way, if that voice sounded offensive to you, I'd like to apologize. And it's weird that you find offense in voices. So, ventriloquism probably isn't for you. Lucero is fantastic. Do you like Murder by Death?
I don't know them either.
Oh, they're a great band.
Lucero.
Yeah. So if you like songs about alcoholism. Yeah, there you go. If you like Social Distortion with the punk part, but like the idea of like feeling miserable and good about yourself, you like Lucero. So let's hear some Lucero. Jamie, do you know Lucero?
I do not.
You got to get away from these mics
and
start listening to the bars, to the music that they play in the bars. The staff at Solly's, big fans of Lucero.
Okay. This is what I imagine Boston sounds like all the time.
I don't think they're from Boston.
Still.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
They're from Memphis.
There we go.
Huh.
I've seen Lucero a handful of times. I like seeing them live. I'm going to recommend that. Without prompt. All right, you can fade it out. I'm going to also recommend going to Baltimore again on Sunday. 3 Baltimore picks. Other way, we always have a Baltimore pick in Best Weekend Bets. This is our free pick and our Baltimore pick for Sunday. The Baltimore Museum of Art is offering free admission for the brand new exhibit, Monsters and Myths, Surrealism and War in the 1930s and 1940s. It looks very dark.
Seems pretty cool.
It looks very cool. Sunday, Jamie, what are you doing?
Sunday,
If you don't have a mic, that's not a bad thing. If you don't have a show, that's not a bad thing.
I think I do, actually. Be at Sully's Poorhouse in Herndon.
Come on. How many... You have a car, clearly.
Yes.
How often are you driving to these shows?
Pretty much every time I...
That sounds way worse.
Yeah, I like it better than the Metro, though.
Do you drink alcohol?
I do. I limit it when I'm driving.
Good. Jack, you doing anything fun this weekend?
I'm going back to Mexico City.
Are you serious?
Completely serious.
Holy shit. You went for the first time, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Are you going to CMLL this time again?
What?
Are you going to wrestling?
No, I'm not.
Damn it. I was hoping you can go and pick
I have some friends that are going to be there. There's like a few DJ things happening, and I met some people while I was there, and they were all like, you got to come back. You can stay with us. It'll be free. And then I use Sky Miles, and I'm just going to go for the weekend.
I'm very jealous of you, Jack.
Yeah.
That's so great.
That's my weekend pick.
That is a great pick. I also highly recommend, if you have the money, you got the time, go to Mexico City.
Sky Miles, that makes it free.
I want to make it clear, Mexico City is still very affordable considering anywhere else in this country.
Oh, yeah. That's what really swayed me to do. I think it'll be a cheaper weekend than it would be for me in D.C.
Yeah. I'm not surprised in any way. Brand new bar, La Pop, part of La Peace. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's open. all their cocktails are $13. How much are cocktails here at the line?
They vary, but I would guess 15 or so.
15 or so. And that should elicit a very crazy response, but it doesn't.
No.
That is the norm now. That's not right. Jamie, even at these open mics, even at these regular shows, how much is the cheapest beer usually?
A lot of times people give out beer.
Okay, yeah. Come on, be cool.
But I would say probably like $5-6.
$5-6. Yeah. $5-6 for a nice beer to me is fine. Yeah. $5 or $6 for PBR is not cool. The new Black Hat Red Room, all their drafts are $9.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's supposed to be like the punk club. So when we're recommending Mexico City, if you're Jack's right, if you're going out two or maybe three times a weekend just to do like cocktails and what, a meal?
Sure.
You're probably spending your flight to Mexico City.
Seriously.
And if you have friends there and the food and drink there is way cheaper and, no offense to DC, way better.
Yeah, true.
Why wouldn't you go to Mexico City as much as possible? Guys, we got to move. We have to ruin Mexico City like we ruined Portland. We could do it. I'm very jealous of you, Jack. I'm incredibly jealous of you. Well, I'll be here or in Baltimore, where drinks are not $15 on average. But I can't drink them because I'll be driving to Baltimore. Yeah, right. But I will be hitting the batting cages. And we're going to do a future show with a guy whose life I might want to emulate. He opened up a batting cages in the heart of Philadelphia. And it's just like a storefront that he modded out to be a three-cage batting cage system. And he's got shows. Bands like Priests from D.C. play there. And I have no idea how he makes money. And that'll be a future show. So stay tuned for that, everybody. Jamie, I want to thank you again. People could follow you on Twitter at what handle?
At Jimmy Boobetti.
Jesus Christ. You could find Jack in Mexico City this weekend. If anybody else is going to Mexico City this weekend, please check out Arena Mexico and buy me all of the pins and buttons that you could carry back with you. $20 goes a long way in the pin scene in Mexico City, and I'll be at the American Craft Show in Baltimore. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.